Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ready to go, Dr. D, the former three-time Stampede North American champion, former AWA Southern Tag Team champion, a legendary former WWF superstar. Dr. D, what is going on? What's going on in your world? What have you been up to?
Well, I'm just trying to stay alive and, you know, just hanging around and building fences to keep dogs away from me. I got bit by a dog here about 3 weeks ago as I was trying to build a fence, and they thought I might have had rabies. And I said, nah, I ain't got no rabies, but him, the dog, like, to broke my leg. He's about 5 feet tall. I don't know, one of them Malamutes or whatever. Anyway, but, you know, I'm trying to take care of, do my honey-do list. I don't have a honey-do list no more. I got a honey-do book with chapters in it. You know, I'm trying to relax. You know, I'm tired of going around beating people up. Everybody's scared of me. Nobody wants to get in the ring with me, and everybody wants to tell a bunch of lies. Nobody wants to tell the truth about anything, and I just can't hardly stand it when people lie and nobody do nothing about it. Now, if you watch TV, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Lie, lie, lie. That's all they do is sit up and lie, lie, lie to each other, everything. I done got where I watch a black and white TV in my shop now with one of these things you stick in the window to get the channels that they don't show on cable or dish or anything anymore. And it's some of the best TV I ever seen, man, 1950s, 1960s. But I'm just trying to keep my head low. I do a lot of autograph sessions, and I don't do a lot. I've cut them down, but, you know, I'm trying to stop. But people keep calling me about them, and they want to pay me such good money, I have to go, you know. But anyway, I'm still alive and in color. Everybody says I'm dead. Nope, not dead. Everybody says I run off to another country. Nope, I did go to Poland for 3 years, and thinking about going back over there, but they're kind of talking bad stuff about Poland now and, you know, nuclear war, and I don't want to get accused of that. Yeah, it's, you know, they accuse me of everything else, but anyway, I'm still alive and in color, man, and still doing good, and I sent you that little clip about the book. I didn't know if you had the book or not.
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, of course. Autographed by you. Yep.
Oh, there you go. I thought it might have been. I wasn't sure, though, because, you know, I've been doing real good with them books. I thought they was going to kind of die off in a while, you know. But, darn, it seemed like they're doing better now than they was before. And, you know, I'm working on another one, but it's something I can't talk about. And the writer that's going to write it for me, he's scared to death. I'm going to have to fire him. I can't say that. Hey, it's the truth. You want to tell the truth or you want to lie? If you're going to lie, go somewhere else. I'm not talking to you no more, you know. And he said, you mean all this is true? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I was probably the only veteran that Vince McMahon had working for him when I first went up there in 84. And, you know, nobody ever, they didn't, oh, yeah, you was a veteran. Hey, if you don't think I was a veteran, forget it, okay? Just forget it. I'm not trying to make you believe anything. So I got where I wouldn't talk to anybody hard, you know. And all of them want to, you know, people want a false front, you know. Nobody wants to tell the truth. Everybody wants to make believe character. Let me tell you, I'm a cartoon character. I'm an exhibitionist. I'm a storyteller. I'm whatever. But one thing I'm not fake. I never have been, and I'm not scared of no man walking on the face of the earth. And I've always told them that, and they really, really got scared of me. And Vince McMahon shakes in his pants when I go around. If he's got pants on, he's probably wearing a girdle and a pair of panties, as far as I know, because he's a no-good, he's a garbage, he's a liar, he's a thief. Child molester, I've been saying this for years, and I talk about it in my book. And, you know, this guy is dirty as they come. And I don't know why they haven't investigated Vince McMahon and a couple of presidential candidates. I'm sure there's a lot of money there, a lot of money going around. They've made two big deals. Oh, they got to have paid a lot of, wake-up bribes or thank you money or whatever. But, you know, you got that much money, you can dodge all that. I could never dodge anything. I had to face it, face first, you know. And all my lawyers, they all sold me out. They, you know, and now I hear there's a show coming out called Bell Jumpers. Well, I copyrighted Bell Jumpers probably 10, 12 years ago. Manuscripts, Dick Clark, different people wanted to steal. I say they wanted to steal it from me. I told them, nope. They wanted to pay me a percentage. And I said, nope, don't want it. So I kind of put it back on the back shelf. And everybody I went to talk to about it, nobody wanted to do Bell Jumpers or Doc's Law or anything else. And now I've seen on TV the other day, they got Bell Jumpers coming out. Well, you know, people say, well, why don't you sue them? Well, I don't have the money to sue them. You better have a lot of money you sue them people. TV people and crooks and crime investigators, lawyers. But I'm going to tell you, the lawyer is going to get the biggest percentage of it, and he's going to drop you. I've been dropped by seven or eight attorneys during my wrestling career, and, you know, I'm sure they got paid off. And of course, they didn't tell me that, but I'm sure that's what happened, you know. But anyway, I'm happy. I have no regrets. I'm doing great, and I'm just trying to take care of my dogs and my horses and my pigs and my cows and my coyotes and my cats. I live on a funny farm, I think, you know. But
Yeah, it seems like it.
It's nice down here in Tennessee. I've got close to 100 acres and all fenced off and everything, and I kind of got some swamp in there and got some beaver dams now flooding the roads out, and I ain't nothing I knew about it, man. The beavers are here before we were, you know. But anyway, anything on your mind specially you want to know about, Dr. D?
Yeah, like the relationship with Vince. When did it go sour? I'm guessing it has to do with the John Stossel stuff. But like you said, you know maybe more of this alleged Vince stuff than most people.
Yep. Vince, when I went out, and Vince come to the dressing room that night in Madison Square Gardens, and he said, I want you to go out and blast this guy. Tear his ass up. Stay in character. Well, everybody in the dressing room heard that, but we was over in the corner, like off to the side, and but you could hear Vince and me talking, you know. So I went out, and, you know, he said, blast him, tear his ass up. To me, blast him means if he gets out of hand or out of concept, like he's trying to say that wrestling is phony, it's not real and all that. The only thing I could do was slap him. And I slapped him, and he got up, and I slapped him again. Because where I come from, if you knock a man down, you need to get ready. If he gets back up, knock him down again before he has time to hit you. So, anyway, that's the way that happened. Now, Vince paid John Stossel. I don't know exactly what he got, but he paid him off. And then later on, John Stossel's show, it was John Stossel's TV show, he said, I didn't hurt anymore after I got paid. You know, he is the biggest slime ball, the biggest liar I've ever seen on national TV, and all the national TV shows like ABC cuddles him up. Oh, John, we didn't know this. We didn't know you got beat. No, he didn't get beat. He got slapped. And he deserved it. Everything he got, he deserved it. He didn't deserve the money he got, but Vince gave him that. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't filed any charges against me. I never went to court. I never talked to lawyers. I never done anything. Vince McMahon paid him off, and then he told me, you take the blame for all this, and, you know, basically he was saying, take the blame for it, and I'll take care of you. No. I'm not going out there and tell anybody that I did anything on my own. You're the one, and everybody knows you don't go out to do an interview in Madison Square Garden unless the boss tells you to do it. Nobody can just walk in there and start doing an interview. So everybody knew what happened, but nobody could talk because Vince would have fired him on the spot. So I was alone. I guess we can call it a lone ranger, a lone wrestler. Nobody stand up for me or anything else. And I told him, I said, well, he said, if you don't tell them that, you know, I'm going to send you to different countries. And they said, no, you're not sending me nowhere. I'm not going anywhere else for you because I know how it is in Egypt and I know how it is in Saudi Arabia and all that. I've been to all of them. And it's really easy to get rid of somebody over there. A lot easier than people think. But anyway, we kind of partied. 7 years later, the lawsuit that I had against Vince, my lawyer comes in and says, hey, we've been doing this 7 years. I'm going to have to drop you. Well, wait a minute. Drop it. 7 years, you're going to drop me? And we got everything against Vince. We got him nailed to the wall on this thing. Everybody's talking now, and he said, no, I'm going to have to drop you. Well, then you need to pay me the money I paid you. And his name was Timmy Mortahan out of Waterbury, Connecticut. What a slime ball he turned out to be. And anyway, I got my money back. I paid him up front, and then there was a little bit of money paid. You know, Vince wanted to pay me. I didn't want it. I told him I don't want it. And he said, well, if I don't give it to you, I'm going to have to give him a check back. It's like you're giving him money. I don't want it. Go and keep it. About a month later, he called me. If you don't get this check, David, I'm going to have to give it back to Vince, and I'm still dropping you. Well, you don't need to call me no more because I don't want to talk to you no more. Anyway, that's just one of them. And, you know, you run into a lot of con men, and a poor old boy from Tennessee. I just thought people was good for their word. Man tells you something, that's what it was. His word is it's gospel. Excuse me. And, you know, that's the way. And then all of a sudden all these people tell you this. You're wanting to believe them because it's supposed to be that way. And then all of a sudden you find out everybody's lying to you. Everything they say, lie. But that Vince got me on that, and one day, maybe, Lord knows, if they don't hang him or shoot him or something, I'll get to meet him face-to-face again. And that's a day I've been looking for a long time. And my wife said, oh, you're just going to get in a lot of trouble. Oh, really? And my wife's my best support, you know. She's like been behind me all the time, you know. Leave him alone, stay away from him, don't go near him. And, you know, that's what I guess I took her advice and didn't go looking for him or anything. Didn't have nothing to discuss with him, so I didn't want to be near him after I found out all of the harassment of kids, sexual charges against him for kids and women and this here and that. Oh, man, this guy is loaded with criminal activity. But that's good. They can all enjoy it, I guess. And I was just wondering how Linda got a job with Trump in the White House after he got elected. But that's another story, too. I'll never know. But a lot of favors was done there, and I don't know why they don't investigate these people. I mean, the Internal Revenue Service, they had them on me. They audited me 5 years straight in a row. Because Vince wanted them to, you know, on the lawsuit. Everything, they tried to take my house from me in Connecticut and Tennessee and Minnesota and different places, the apartments and stuff I had, and wanted to put my wife out on the street. I said, y'all are dealing with very dangerous stuff now, you know. So it got dropped real quick about trying to take my properties and stuff from me for no reason, because they got money and they can run over anybody they want to. But I told them the buck stops here. You know, you're not running over me anymore. And it's been a struggle. You start talking about it, it goes on and on for year after year after year after year. And who loses? I lose. The lawyers don't lose. Vince don't lose. I mean, come on. I'm the only one that lost, and everybody asked me, why don't you sue? I ain't suing nobody. I don't want to sue nobody. I don't want to get involved with nobody no more because I don't have enough money to do that. I got enough to make it until the end if it ain't too soon. I mean,
yeah.
If it don't last too long. But anyway, what a life, man. Probably one of the toughest pro wrestlers ever was. And like
yes.
I told you, we're scared of no man. And, you know, just never seemed to catch a break. But I made my own breaks everywhere I went. I took care of myself, took care of business. Everybody loved me for working with me, or, you know, except for the big head guys that thought they were really tough and knew they wasn't tough and knew I wasn't going to back down from them. So, you know, I made a name for myself. And I don't know if it was good or not. I guess it was. I'm still, you know, in demand some places, and that's the way that goes. So what else you want to know about? Get Vince on my mind.
Well, what did you think of those allegations on Vince? I mean, it's been out there now. I don't know if you read all that stuff and all the stuff that's out there, but what did you think when you saw that?
Well, on what now?
All those allegations with Vince.
Oh, I knew it's true. Everything's true. This guy is a scumbag. I mean, he's as big a scumbag you could ever want to be around. And that's one reason I was so disgusted when this guy got away with everything. And he got away with it and got away with it. Nobody could pin him down, you know. And then all of a sudden, a few people won lawsuits against him. But, you know, then he come back like Rita Marie Chatterton. The referee, the lady that, you know, referee and Vince had made her have sex with him, or she wasn't going to have a job anymore. And he's, oh, that's all sour grape. She didn't do that. She did this. She did that. She did blah, 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 blah. Then here last year, or a year or two later, I hear he paid her off after calling her a liar and everything else. He agreed. He paid her off, and she come out pretty good on it, I guess. I mean, you know, but it's just, you know, and kids. I mean, this guy abused kids and everything and got away with it just because he got money. And he got money by lying, cheating, scumbag tricks and anything else he could do. And, but, you know, I guess he's happy with it. I mean, I don't know if I could be happy everybody knowing that I was a piece of garbage like that still walking around, but that's the way it goes, you know.
Would you say Vince is the reason you and Hulk kind of had a big falling out? Because you and Hulk were buddies for a while, and you guys had awesome chemistry together in those matches in 84, the Minnesota Massacre and everything else.
Yeah, we was me and Terry and me, we were good friends, probably the best of friends. I let him stay at my house when he first come down to Pensacola. I let him stay at my house in Tennessee because he had nothing but a van to sleep in. And I let him stay at our house. And, you know, I mean, I thought we were a friendship that would never be broken. Then all of a sudden, come up in New York that Vince told him, you get away from David, stay away from him. It's either Schultz or me. And I guess Hogan chose him, which was probably the best choice for him. But, you know, it's when Hogan went in and told Vince, David's going to beat me for the belt on national TV. And Vince said, well, why don't you beat him? You beat him. But anyway, that's the story, the way the story went, you know. And then Vince had to get rid of me. He had to create something to get rid of me, like all the home videos, which wasn't my home, wasn't my wife, wasn't my kids. Everything I did was Vince created it. All the guns, all the shows that I did, because he wanted me to be the baddest person ever walked. Bad, mean, just mean. And I guess he got it done, you know. But, you know, Hogan, I never spoke to him since then, that day. And that was a long time ago. But he's getting what he reaped. You know, you reap what you sow. And he's getting it now, so, you know, let him enjoy himself. And Vince, too, let him enjoy his life because he's getting paid back for what he sold. And Hogan, too. Hogan screwed around a lot of people in his business just for the almighty dollar, which, hey, that's the way they roll. That's the way it should go. Me, I just have a good time. That's all I do. Like I said, I'm not fake. I'm not a guy. They can call me a cartoon character. They can call me a storyteller. They can call me anything they want to call me. Just don't call me fake because I'm not fake. I'm entertaining and probably entertainer of the year, but they never give that to me either. Yeah, always stop me.
Now, Rowdy Roddy Piper said that you basically, in front of the whole locker room, when Vince first became owner and took over for his dad, that you basically punked out Vince. Is that true? Did you call him out in front of the boys and tell him, you know, get the hell out of the locker room? Or is that not true?
No, I never did that. No, I never did that. As I can remember, I didn't. We had an incident in Rhode Island one time that Vince come up to me, and I was fixing to dump one of the guy's head in the commode. And Vince come in and said, David, leave these guys alone. They're all scared of you, but I'm not. I said, well, you should be the one that's scared of me more than any of the rest of them. Now, I don't know if that's what he's talking about or what, you know. No, I never called him out in front of nobody. I did my business. If I had something to say to Vince, I'd go to his office or we would go off to the side, you know. Because I thought Vince was a standing guy at that time because I dealt with his father for a while. A nice guy. Tell you something, that's the way it was. And you think the son would be like the father. Well, I found out different real quick. But no, Roddy Piper, a lot of guys like to talk about me. A lot of guys like to tell stories about me and just because it's me and they think they can get attention by talking about me. And when they include themselves in the scenario, they think they're getting over, like, you know, hey, yeah, I was there when Dr. D slapped that guy. I was there when Dr. D did this. I was there when Dr. D did this. None of them was anywhere around any time, as I know of stories that they're talking about. Everybody talk about Randy Savage and me. Yeah, Randy and me was good friends. We'd been good friends for years and years and years before he come up. We was partners in Memphis before he went to the WWF at that time. And, you know, I don't think I've ever had a cross word with Randy, you know. But everybody else said, oh, no, Schultz and Randy Savage fix to have it out, blah, 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 blah. Why? Because they believe what we say on TV, and they believe that we're mad at each other, try to make money. That's what we're supposed to do. Rocky Johnson, very good friend of mine, great worker. We always got along great. We was in matches with him and Tony Atlas. Well, Rocky would tell me, Doc, everything good, man, everything cool. I said, well, what's wrong with Tony? He's all right. And Tony would come up to me and say, hey, Doc, why are you talking about my father, man? Tony, I never knowed your father. But I'm sure he was black like you. And Tony looked at me like, huh? I said, never mind, Tony. It just kind of went over his head, you know.
Yep.
Well, you shouldn't talk about tying him up and beating him with a belt and everything. Well, I didn't know he was your father at that time. Huh? Oh, God. Oh, man. It just, you know, I said, I better quit right here before we're scrambling this thing up. Poor Tony, and today I see Tony, he's like, you know, hugs my neck, Doc, how you doing, everything good? Maybe somebody smartened him up that it was all entertainment. Rocky Johnson was a great entertainer. He knew, I went with him to visit his mother and Dwayne when Dwayne was 7 or 8 years old, and in Hawaii, we had a good time, everything, and never forget it. They treated me great, you know, and always, always good friends. But everybody else said, oh, man, oh, he's getting mad. Everybody's mad at him. Everybody's mad. Hey, what are we out here for? We're out here to make money. And how you make money? You make people mad. And they pay to see you get beat. And as long as they don't beat you, you make money. Once they beat you in the middle of the ring, they don't need you anymore. But that's what we're there for, to make money. We're not there for our health, you know. And never missed a match in my life. Never. Not one time. And even in the events today, when I get these events, I drive up to Massachusetts, I drive to New York, I drive out to Boston, I drive to Arizona, I drive. I don't fly unless it's absolutely an emergency or need to or something, you know. I love to drive, and I always, never missed a show, not one time in my whole career. And that's the way it was. I was booked as my job, and I, you know, never have somebody say, well, he wasn't going to be here anyway. But that's the business, though. That's the business. And why should I know them? And, you know, I didn't know any of them. None of them at that time. Now I still don't know them. I've seen them there, and, you know, they come up, they all want to shake my hand. They just, here, this, here, this, here. And some of them don't even want to talk to me or look at me because they're still mad at me, I guess. I don't know. Don't care. But that's my problem. I just got the I don't care attitude, you know. And that's just what I was, you know.
Now,
I know you got something on your mind you want to ask.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about Mr. T. Mr. T. Remember Mr. T,
yep.
The old A-team, B.A. Baracus?
Yep.
What was that like with T? Because didn't you and him get into it?
No. Me and him never got into it. What happened to Mr. T, he was in L.A. I was in the ring, and he was out with Tora Tanaka, which is a good friend of mine. And Mr. T was sitting there with him, and we were just egging it on, Tanaka and Mr. T. And I told him, come on up into the ring, and I'll make you shine my shoes. Well, the Inquirer got a hold of it, and they said that Mr. T backed down all this here. Then the next thing was Hogan said that I slapped Mr. T in front of him. You know, it was a lie. And everybody else said that Mr. T was coming into the ring that night. They removed me from L.A. And me and Mr. T was talking. We was going to eat dinner after the match towards Tanaka, Mr. T, and myself. By the time I got back, Mr. T was the reason that we... And do what now?
Oh, that's the thing that comes on. It's wacky. I'm using this new recorder.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought I did something wrong. Again.
No. You know what, though? Let me hold that thought about Mr. T. Let me call you right back. I'm gonna reset this thing. Okay? I'll call you right back.
Okay.